This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Financial services is a key driver of the UK economy, but so-called equivalence rules about how the industry works with its European counterparts was largely left out of the last-minute Brexit deal agreed back in December. Since January, that's meant EU-based financial companies have been barred from trading in London, and that is causing the nearly $200 billion British industry to lose business to other European cities. Officials are working to hammer out an equivalence deal, but in a speech last night, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey argued the EU is holding the UK to unrealistically high standards, in part due to worries about whether the UK might choose to loosen financial regulations in order to attract more post-Brexit business.
None of these proposed changes mean that the UK should or will create a low-regulation, high-risk, anything-goes financial centre and system. We have an overwhelming body of evidence that such an approach is not in our own interests, let alone anybody else's.
The back and forth, though, is having a real effect on the UK already. FT journalist Philip Stafford has been digging into the latest trading data and discovered last month Amsterdam took London's long-held status as Europe's largest share trading center with a four-fold increase in January from the number of shares traded in December.
In the short term, it's more symbolic than a significant blow in terms of jobs or lost tax receipts. Share trading itself isn't taxed on the number of shares you do, and it's actually quite a lean and efficient industry when it comes to the number of people actually in it. Most of it is done by computers. So it's not a really person-intensive industry. That said, this was something that London just did. And, you know, I've looked at the numbers pretty regularly for most of the last decade. When I say regularly, I'm talking about once a month at least. And London is always buying the top spot. And that really has changed in just a couple of weeks. The point is, of course, that once you actually establish a new center of trading and everyone sees it somewhere else, then there's always a danger that sooner or later, jobs and money follows money.
Now, the UK and the EU have set this new March deadline to come up with an equivalence policy to make trading and financial services businesses easier between the two places. So if that happens, could London retake its crown?
I think as the reality of life has unfolded and people have got used to living without any, those hopes have really faded. And I think there is a much more a sober assessment of what is likely to come at the end of March. If the UK and EU agree something, it's likely to be a sort of a technical regulatory deal in which would allow regulators to decide what they can accept and share with each other. I don't think it's going to go as far as giving any sort of wider market access permissions that in effect allow the trading to come back. You know, if you can understand it from the EU's perspective, they have wanted to have more oversight of what are essentially euro-denominated assets, to have them within their own purview. It's moved. In essence, why would you want to change something that has turned to your advantage? And don't forget that this permit that we're talking about, this isn't a bilaterally negotiated permit. This is a unilateral decision on behalf of the EU can make for itself.
So we heard last week on this program from the boss of Barclays, who said actually he's not too concerned about the impact of Brexit because the UK should be less concerned with competing with Europe and more focused on Asia and the US. What have you been hearing? Do you think that's a refrain that is common in the city, as we call it here, effectively London's Wall Street?
It is fairly common, although something is big as the city isn't ever really going to speak with one voice on anything. But having said that, yes, I think there is a certain feeling that the EU will be the EU market. You'll need access to it. But there are other opportunities, especially in the bigger end of the market, where there's a lot of investment banks and then their biggest customers, whether it be huge big corporations or hedge funds, pension funds, asset managers, you know, they will play and tend to look much more globally. You know, that said, nobody ever wants to cut off from a market and face additional costs to enter a market. And that's sort of what is happening when it comes to dealing with the EU. A lot of people are just finding the only way to actually ensure that you're going to have access to the EU market is to base people and a headquarters specifically within the bloc.
The FT's Philip Stafford. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.